Mesiras Nefesh for coming out to learn on a night like this. We have to try to enter into the time, to enter in peace, and to hopefully to leave this time in peace. Talk about a very deep inyan. I want to begin with a medrash pliya. Sometimes you find medrashim that can't be understood, that simply cannot be understood with derech hapshat. There's no way you could look at that medrash and just to accept it literally, to understand literally, it makes no sense at all. Al pi pshutim shel dvarim. The simple pshat, you simply can't make heads or tails out of it. So there's a medrash pliya. There's one of these wondrous medrashim that's brought down in the Sfarim. I didn't see it in its source. I don't know what the source of it is, but it's accepted as a Medrash Chazal that's found, that's brought down in the Sfar. The Medrash is a couple of words. The Medrash says, Haraitza Leida Shepinchas Elio, if you really want to know that Pinchas is Elio Hanavi, you know, we have a Kabbalah from Chazal, I've spoken about it dozens of times, that according to Chazal, Pinchas is Elio Hanavi. But this medrash says, "Haraitza leida shepinchas Eliyahu." If you really want to know that Pinchas is Eliyahu, then there's one way to find out. Yistakel be'ela hadvar. You should look at the beginning of the fifth book of the Torah, which we're going to start. We're going to read this Shabbos. We're going to begin this Shabbos, Sefer Devarim. That's the medrash. If you want to know that Pinchas is really Eliyahu, then you look at Eilah Hadvar. What? Pinchas Elio, Sefer Dvarim. We'll come back to that, mamish, the last minute. In the first chalik, in the first volume, first section of Likutei Maharan from Rabbi Nachman, Siman Reish Mem Zayin, there's a very short Torah, a very brief Torah, and this Torah will be the subject of our discussion for the entire Shir. So try to hear the words. It's only a few words. Rabbi Nachman teaches us Isa Bezara Kaddish, that we're taught in the Zara Kaddish. It's actually found in the Tikkunim. Isa Bezara Kaddish Eteku Hanemer B'Shas Hu Bechinas Mechusar Tikkun. Those of you who have spent some time studying Shas, studying Gemara, know that there are certain unresolved debates, dilemmas that are found in the Gemara. And when you have an unresolved dilemma in Teresh Baal Peh, in the oral law, that's referred to as a teiku. We'll talk about what that means exactly in a minute. But it's referred to as a teiku. Tof, yud, kuf, vav. Teiku. So Rabbi Nachman cites the Zohar HaKadosh, and the Zohar teaches that the word teiku, unresolved dilemma, is mechusar tikkun. It means something which hasn't been completely repaired. It's lacking a tikkun. That means it's missing the final letter of Tikkun, which is the end of Nun, the long Nun, the Nun Sofis. It's missing that final Nun. And when you take the final Nun away from the word Tikkun, Tikkun is a wonderful word. Tikkun means when something is completely fixed, it's repaired, right? L'sakein, Tikkun. When you remove the final Nun, that's referred to, it's really called the Nun Pshuta. When you remove the final Nun from the word Tikkun, then you're left with Teiku, which is something which is not complete, not resolved, unrepaired. That's what it says in the Zohar. So Ibn Achim explains. Vida. And you should know. Shezos hanun pshuta shenechseres mehatikun v'naase b'chines teiku hanal. Ibn Achim says that you should know that this end nun, that long nun, that's called a nun pshuta, the simple nun. And you should know that end nun, which is missing from the word tikkun, and as a result of that, has become the word teiku, which means unresolved and unrepaired. Azayhi nishpelis v'nichvefis v'nasim yizeh b'chines kinois. When you take an en nun, which is called a nun pshuta, a simple nun, the long nun, and you make it crooked, you bend it, that's called, in the language of diktuk, it's called a nun kfufa, which means a bent over nun, the nun that's like a bent over person, the regular nun. So Ibn Achman says that the final nun, the beautiful and simple nun of tikkun, it's not just missing from the word tikkun to form the word teiku, from the word repair or correction to form the word unresolved dilemma teiku, but it's nishpeles v'nichvefes. The end nun, the beautiful nun pshut of the long nun, has been corrupted and bent out of shape. And when you take the nun that was pshuta, that was beautiful and straight, and you bend it, and you degrade it, then it enters into the word teiku to form the word kinos. Kinos, which we read on Tisha B'Av, which means the screaming and the crying and the wailing over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash of Yerushalayim. Kuf Yud Nun Vav Sof. Because there you have a nun kfufa, a bent nun. In other words, the word tikkun with a bent nun instead of the end nun forms the word, contains, spells the word kinos. Shu'aisi is tikkun rak shanun nechvef is kanal. Rabbi Nachman says, which is the word tikkun, but the nun has been bent out of shape, and therefore we have that regular nun in the word to form kinos. The kinos that we read on Tisha B'Av. And he ends with a final sentence, which is really a tefillah. Hashem yigaleinu, that Hashem should redeem us with Mashiach. V'yishapchu hakinos letikun. And may the kinos that we read on Tisha B'Av, the crying over the destruction, the kinos, I think they call them in English, maybe lamentations, I'm not sure what they call them. That's what Eicha's called. Everybody knows what kinos are. Hashem yigalenu v'yishabchu hakinos letikun. Hashem should redeem us, and the kinos, the crying over the destruction, should be transformed into the tikkun, into the final repair that will take place with Mashiach. V'yistaken hatikkun hanal, and hateku hanal. And then the confusion, the unresolved dilemma, will finally be solved. So we're now in a state of kinos, crying and mourning. The kinos is the nun that has been bent and broken. We're davening for the time that the kinos will be repaired, and then the word tikkun will be formed with a final nun, with the nun being straightened out, and that will be the resolution to the horrible state of teiku, of unresolved dilemma that we're now living through. That's what Rabbi Nachman taught. Okay, it's a mitzvah to try to understand the words of the tzaddikim. Let's talk about teku. Let's talk about this word teku. Teku, which in the language of the oral law means an unresolved question, a kashya, a kushya that hasn't been answered. Let's talk about teku. It's an interesting word, teku. Teku is the Rosh HaTeivos, as the Kadmonim, as the Rishonim tell us, that the word teku, it's not really a word. Teku actually spells, the first letters spell, Tishbi Yataritz Kushyas Ubayos, which means Tishbi is Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, that's the tough. Tishbi Yataritz will resolve Kushyas, dilemmas, Ubayos, and problems. Tishbi Yataritz Kushyas Ubayos, which means that we have a Kabbalah from Chazal, we receive the tradition from our Chachamim, which is a Kabbalah Amitis, which is the truth, that all of the kashes, all of the questions, all the sveikas, all of the dilemmas that we have in learning, are going to be resolved by Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, is going to come and to answer all these questions, the questions that have no answers in this world. And that's why we find, for any of you who have learned Nezikin, Bav Metziah, so you know that there are certain situations where the Gemara does not have a clear ruling, and then the ruling could be Yehemunach Achiyava Yeliyo, that we will allow this garment or this questionable fought over piece of property, we will let it sit. Ad sheyavoy Eliyo, yehemunach ad sheyavoy Eliyo. Let it sit and wait until Eliyahu HaNavi will come. And when Eliyahu HaNavi will appear, then he will tell us what the din is, because we don't know the din. It's a teku. So teku means it's unresolved, and it's awaiting the appearance of Eliyahu HaTishbi, who will resolve the problem. So we have to understand, why is that taka? Taka is also let us take. Why is that taka? That we have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi to resolve these dilemmas. What's up with Eliyahu? What's Eliyahu HaNavi's chelik in revealing the correct answers to all the questions that we couldn't resolve? Why Eliyahu HaNavi? So we're learning a Torah from Rabbi Nachman, so let's hear a story about something that once happened to Rabbi Nachman. And I'm using a story here in order to understand one of the most mysterious parts of the mysterious life of that great tzaddik of Rabbi Nachman is the trip that he took to Eretz Yisrael. And when he was in Eretz Yisrael, every single step was mamish filled with mystery. The trip there, he was disguised. We're told that when he arrived in the holy city of Tveria, where, as some of you know, there was the largest gathering at the time of the students of the Baal Shem Tov. That was where the place where Mendel Vitebsky went, and Rabbi Avram Kalisker. The early settlers from the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov went to the city of Tveria. Tiberius in English. And in that city of Tveria, there was the great Goyin, the great Tzaddik, also one of the Talmidei HaBaal Shem, Rabbi Yaakov Shimon Shiptovka. Rabbi Yaakov Shimon Shiptovka was one of the great geniuses of the generation of learning. And this Rabbi Yaakov Shimon prepared an elaborate festive meal in order to honor the arrival of the great Tzaddik Rabbi Nachman, who was the great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And we have a tradition that at that su'uda, at that meal, as is the way of tzaddikim and talmidei chacham, that they spoke in Torah, they spoke in learning. And we have a kabbalah of a question that the tzaddik of Yaakov Shimon presented to the tzaddikim who were gathered for that su'uda. And the question was a question in halacha that baffled all of the great geniuses who were there. The question was, regarding this halacha of Yehemunach ad Shiyova Yaliyo, that means, regarding the question of certain objects that have to remain in waiting until Eliyahu Novi will come, and then when Eliyahu Novi will come, he will decide the halacha. So Rabbi Yaakov Shimshon asked, how is it possible that Eliyahu Novi should be able to single-handedly make a decision in dine momentis and laws that are related to monetary questions, since in general there's a halacha by dine momentis that one witness, in other words, the understanding is that Eliyahu Novi knows the truth, he knows what happened, he really knows who this belongs to, Reuven and Shimon. So Rabbi Yaakov Shimshon asked, because we're not talking about a halacha of Yachid Mumcha, for those of you that learned a little Sanhedrin. We're talking about Eidus. That Eliyahu Novi is going to come and is going to testify that Reuven actually owns that garment. So Rabbi Yaakov Shimshon asked, how could there be such a thing? The klal, the rule in Eidus, the rule in all laws of testimony in dine momentis and monetary matters is, lo yokum eid echad b'ish. We do not accept the testimony of one person. One witness we do not accept. In dine momentis, we cannot accept his testimony. Now, Eliyahu Novi, it's true, he's a fantastic person. And you can't find anybody more honest than Eliyahu Novi. But sof kol sof, even if it's Moshe Rabbeinu, an eid echad, one witness, is not acceptable. So Rabbi Yaakov Shimshon asks, so how could it be that we're going to accept the testimony of Eliyahu Novi regarding the question of ownership of that garment? Since layokim edachad bishal pishnaim edim yokim dov, you need two witnesses. And the tzaddikim who were at that meal were arguing back and forth, trying to find terutzim. And they noticed that throughout this time, Rabbi Nachman from Breslov was silent, but he looked like he was very annoyed with their answers. And they asked him his opinion. And at first, Rabbi Nachman refused to answer. And finally, they were pushing him enough. And Rabbi Nachman gave the following answer. But listen carefully, and here you have to really, really try to understand. Rabbi Nachman said, the mission at the end of Eidus teaches us that when Eliyahu Novi comes, Dein Eliyahu Bo, El Larachek HaMekurovim Bezraya, Ulekarav HaMeruchokim Bezraya, that Eliyahu Novi is going to come to bring truth to the world. And the meaning of that is that those who are near, but should be pushed away, who don't belong attached to Klal Yisrael, who have somehow infiltrated, Eliyahu Novi is going to be Merachek them. They're going to be cast away. And those who have, unfortunately, over the years, been lost and mixed up among the nations. So Eliyahu Novi is going to draw them near. He's going to restore them to Klal Yisrael. That's a big subject in halach. So Rabbi Nachman explained that that it says there in the Mishnah that the job of Eliyahu Novi to be merachek hamekurovim bezraya, and to be makav ha-meruchokin b'zorah, to bring those near who are far, and to push away those who are near, who don't belong here. The Mishnah concludes by saying, v'la'asa sholom ba'olam. And the Eliyahu Novi is going to bring peace to the world. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman taught, he's going to bring emes back in its place, he's going to bring truth back into the world. Truth that is that which is so far away now in this time of Gaulus truth. So Eliyahu Novi is going to restore truth. That which is furthest away, he's going to bring back, that's the truth. And Sheker. And truth is called far away because the letters are far from each other. Aleph, Mem, and Saf are the furthest three letters away from each other in the Aleph base, right? Aleph is the first letter. Mem is exactly in the middle, and Saf is the last letter. So that's what it means, that he's going to bring close those that have been far away. Emes is going to be brought back, truth. And Sheker, the letters Shin Kuf Reish, are Mekurovim. They're right next to each other. They're going to be pushed away. Falsehood is going to be driven from the world. So therefore, Rabbi Nachman said, once there'll be emes in the world, and once there'll be shalom, there'll be truth in the world, and there'll be peace in the world, mimeila, what's going to happen at the end of time is that Elyonavi won't have to testify. The liar will come forward on his own. The one who originally said, Ani mitzasihu, I found this talis, I found this garment. The one who originally, or in a case where it's even more outright a lie, the one who originally made a false claim, will mimeila on his own with the appearance of Elyonavi, since Elyonavi is going to bring to the world emes and shalom, truth and peace. So mimeila, as a result of that, it doesn't mean that Elyonavi is going to have to testify who stole this and who took that. Rabbi Nachman said that Elyonavi will come to the world, and mimeila, once the truth has been restored, and once everybody in the world is seeking shalom, as a result of that, there won't be a machlokes. There won't be any more an unresolved dilemma. Not because Elyonavi has to testify, because one witness can't testify. But a person on his own can admit that he did something wrong. That's how he does bald and kameid. That a person's admission is equal to 100 witnesses. So if Shimon will come on his own and admit that I was the one that took this, I was the one that made a false claim, so in Mela, the dilemma has been resolved. Eliyahu HaNavi's part in resolving the dilemmas was not to testify, because one witness can't testify. It was to bring truth to the world. And when the light of Eliyahu HaNavi will come, and when truth and peace will be restored to the world, so then the person on his own will come and cry and say, I'm so sorry, you know what happened 2,342 years ago. I'm really sorry. It was me. I was wrong. The tzaddikim were very nispal from that answer. So some of you might have a question about Rabbi Nachman's answer, but you should know that some of the leaders of the generation were overwhelmed by the brilliance of that answer. So let's try to understand. Teiku doesn't only mean Gemara. Doesn't only mean in learning. Teiku is not only all of these are teikus. The whole world is one big teiku between one person and another. I don't understand why that person has what I don't have. Why that person said that to me. I don't understand why that person acts that way. It bothers me. And if there are teikus that exist in the world between one Jew and another, how many teikus are there that exist between a husband and wife? That because of these teikus, there's no shalom, there's no peace, God forbid, that there's a terrible loss of shalom bayis between a husband and wife. That each one has certain kashyas on the other one. Why does he act that way? Why does he treat me that way? Why does she act that way? Why does she treat me that way? Doesn't he know that I need more respect, more love? Doesn't she know I need more respect and more love? How could he have said such a thing? How could she have said such a thing? Because the world is missing shalom, peace, and because the world is missing emes, truth, we're living a continuous state of teikus. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come to the world, Mitzvah Hashem, soon. Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Yitaretz Kush Yisvabayis. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to look at all of us, he's going to come into the world, and he's going to bring shalom to the world. And he's going to bring ahava back to the world. Love, emes, and shalom. And mimeila, as a result of the appearance of Elyonavi, as a result of Elyonavi's entering into the world, those teikus that are tearing our hearts out, those teikus that don't allow us to enjoy friendships, those teikus that don't allow us to enjoy marriages, the takeos that don't allow us to enjoy our faith in Hashem, because there are questions that one has with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. There are questions that sit in the heart and that take away from you a certainty that you need in order to really, really attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Questions about free choice, questions about death and suffering. That after all of this forum that you could read, and after all of the resolutions that you've heard, these questions regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu remain teku, are in a state of teku, unresolved dilemmas. So we have machloikis, and there are disagreements, there's a lack of shalom between friends, between relatives, between husband and wife, between man and God. And then you have another kind of a teku that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to resolve. You have kashas that a person has with himself. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by the kashas that one has with himself? Beinu levein atzmai. Until now I spoke about ben odin l'chaveiro, between one Jew and another. Ben ish l'ishtoy, a husband and wife. Ben odin l'mokum, between man and God. But there's also something that's called ben ha'odim l'atzmai, between a person and himself. Why am I like this? Why am I like this? Why was I born into such a family? Why do I have parents like this? Why do I have friends that don't care? Why was I put into such a place with so many nisyonos? Why am I constantly being challenged and tempted? I look at everybody else, they don't have this tsaros that I have. Why do I have a child, God forbid, that's not well? Why in my life have these things happened to me? Why am I fat? Why am I skinny? Why am I tall? Why am I short? Why am I light? Why am I dark? Why do I have pimples? A lot of people have pain from that question. That's right, the others got pimples. I have pimples, the other one doesn't. I have to live with a whole laboratory in my house in order to try to remove these, and the other one doesn't. So why do I have such a thing? I don't understand. I'm doing what they tell me. I'm eating the right things. From the most horrible, horrible dilemmas to the smallest and silliest. To those that we talk about with some friends, close friends, a husband and wife, and the many, many that we wouldn't even say because we're embarrassed. But kashas that a person has about his own life. About his own life. All of these tekus, ben odm l'chaveira, ben odm l'mokam, ben ish l'ishtay, ben ha'odm l'atzma, all of these tekus come from one source. They all come from that world of tohu, from the world of emptiness, from the world of chaos. They all come from the chisaron of shalom. That there isn't shalom in the world. That peace is missing. Emes and shalom ahevo, that's missing. David HaMelech spoke about himself. Ben Odom La'atzmoy. You know what David HaMelech said? In the 38th chapter of Tehillim, Nochem, Perek Lamed Ches in Tehillim, David HaMelech said, I should give you the source. David HaMelech said, Ein Sholom Ba'atzmi Bnei Chatozi. I have no peace within myself. Because of my sins. I have no peace within myself, with my own bones. I have no peace because of my sins. That because emes is missing and shalom is missing, we're not at peace with God, we're not at peace with our friends, therefore we sin against God, lo aleinu, and we sin against man, and we sin against ourselves. And all of this teiku, all of these unresolved questions about all things, have resulted in the saying of kinos on Tisha B'Av, have brought about the saying of kinos. And the person's mekoinen al chayiv, you'll find that the same person who can't stand to sit for an hour on Tisha B'Av or if God forbid he has to spend 3 hours in Shul Sankinis over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, over the destruction of Klal Yisrael, over the war and the suffering and the misery, that person who krechs over Kinis, usually that very same person will sit and krechs to his friends about himself for hours on end, never thinking that maybe his friends are tired of hearing his own personal Kinis. So all of the keenness that a Jew has regarding his own life, or the keenness that a person says has about other people, oi, this person is like this person is like that, or the tightness that a husband has with a wife and a husband. Can you imagine there's going to come a time soon when Eliyahu Navi will appear? Tishbi Yataretz Kushis Vabayis. And all of those questions, why did Hashem do this? Why did this happen to me? What did my friend really mean? Why is that person acting in such a horrible way? Do we know when you see somebody that's acting in a certain way, do we understand how many times I've made most terrible mistakes by making an assumption about an individual, and I thought I knew that person. I said, sof kol sof, I know this person for 5 years, 10 years. I know the person from class. I know the person as a friend of mine. And I saw something and I understood that based upon my understanding of that person, this was a terrible thing. Then only many years later, I found out how wrong I was. And I didn't know that person's pain. And I didn't know what kind of an upbringing that person had because he never told me because he was ashamed. And maybe years later, it will come out. Eliyahu Navi is going to reveal to us Tzadik Hashem, b'chol drachah, b'chosid, b'chol ma'asa. And that's the most wonderful thing to find out. That's the tikkun. The tikkun is to finally see that there really, really are no questions at all. All the questions are answered. And the teiku is going to be changed from kinos, from kinos into tikkun. On all levels. Now the question is, so how do we taste that now? How do we begin? Is it possible to have a time of this, to understand? So now we have to learn a little bit about a very deep subject. Rabbi Nachman is teaching us that everything here is revolving around that funny nun. You have two types of nun, the nun pshuta, the long nun, the end nun, and the nun kfuf, the bent over nun. So Ibn Achman taught that really, even in Galus before Eliyahu Navi comes, now this is our opening, that even now, the nun exists, the nun of tikkun exists. He didn't say that the nun is gone. When you just see teiku, there is no nun. But Rabbi Nachman revealed something deeper. Rabbi Nachman has revealed to us that really there is a nun, even in Golos before Eliyahu. But the nun is a nun kfufa. It's bent over. And because of that, it forms the word kinos. And when Eliyahu Novi will come, and the gula will be here, then the nun will be straightened out to be a nun pshuta, or there'll be a reunion between the nun pshuta and the nun kfufa. And then the kinos will be changed into tikkun. When the simple end nun was changed into a nun kfufa, into a bent over nun, that's when our goal is, that's when our tzaras began. One of the great Mukubolim was a tzaddik by the name of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. His yahrzeit was a short time ago. But Moshe, the Ramak, but Moshe Cordovero, the author of Pardes Rimoinim and many other svarim. In the Pardes Rimoinim Shahra Oisius, I'm not going to tell you which chapter, but in the Pardes Rimoinim and the Shahra Oisius, the Ramak tells us the difference between the two nuns. What's the difference between these two nuns? And he says that the nun pshuta, the long nun, the end nun, is Bina. Bina means understanding. Bina. Bina is the name of one of the kochos with which Hashem runs the world. So the nun pshuta, the final nun, is the koach of Bina. And the nun kfufa, the bent over nun, is malchus, means kingdom. Malchus. And the Shleimus, the Ramak says, when Mashiach will come, all things will be corrected by the straight nun of Bina being joined once again with the crooked nun, the bent over nun of Malchus. And when both of these are together, then we have a beautiful word, nun. Nun, vav, nun. That's how you spell the word, the letter nun. It's a broken nun, and a vav that joins, and the final end, nun. That's why one of the names of Mashiach that we'll talk about maybe later on is Yinon. Yud, nun, vav, nun. Lifnei Shemesh, Yinon, Shemo. Yinun. Yud Nun Vav Nun. So at the end of time, Bina, understanding, will be reunited with Malchus, the broken Nun, and we will have the unification of the letter Nun, Nun Vav Nun. That's what the Ramak taught. So we have to try to understand, according to Al-Madrega, again, I'm not going to be speaking about Kabbalah, but to understand in our Madrega, on our level, in a very simple Madrega, for people like ourselves, what does this mean? This is a remarkable, remarkable thing. The long nun, the end nun, which means Bina. Bina means, for our purposes now, to understand on a simple level, Bina means Hizboinenus. Hizboinenus means... Moichin the godless, to understand something in a deep level. To get to the depth of something. Bina means to be maven dover mitach dover. To be able to gaze at something, to learn something, to think about it deeply, and to derive one thing from another. That's called Bina. Bina from the word hisboinenus. Moichin the godless. That means, in serving Hashem, Bina also means to be able to see how every single aspect of life, how every single thing in the world is a lakus, is godliness. And everything in the world can be used to connect you to Hashem. When a person is able to look at things in a deep way, to be maven dover mitach dover, to look deeply into something. That's Bina, that's his Hizboinenus. And that's the long nun, the end nun. The broken nun, or the bent nun of Malchus. Malchus means, very simply, Kabbalas o Malchus Shammai. Malchus means, even if I don't understand, I bend myself over like an ox to accept the will of God. Malchus means that I make myself absolutely nothing before God. To be makabel o Malchus Shammai. Malchus means to change the ani, the I, ani, me, into ayin, into nothing. And to bend over to accept Hashem's will. Whereas the long nun that has that is from above and then descends all the way down, that long nun means I understand something to its depth. I enter into something deeply, like the long nun that penetrates, that goes down. That's the long nun, that's Bina. The bent over nun means humility. It means even though I don't understand, even though it's unclear to me, I'm accepting O Malchus Shammai. It's the will of Hashem. The order is that if a person struggles for a long time to be a simple Jew, a simple emuna, to make yourself into a bent over nun, to be just to accept, to receive, that if a person goes through that madrega of poshet emuna, of simple emuna, that sof kol sof, the emuna will be able to rise up to bina. That sof kol sof, that ultimately that person will be able to reach the deeper, deeper madrega of bina, of understanding, of clarity. And that is hinted at in the pasuk that we say in Ashrei, Soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim v'zokev l'chol ha'kfufim. That Hashem supports and uplifts, lifts up. Soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim, all those who have fallen. V'zokev l'chol ha'kfufim. And he straightens out all that are crooked. And everybody here knows that the nun is not found in Ashrei. And Chazal and Brachas tell us that it's not found in Feirish, but it's already hinted at in the pasuk of Soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim v'zokev l'chol ha'kfufim. And this is the mystery of the nun that accepts with simple faith for many years without knowing and struggles to be a good Jew even though you don't feel it and it's hard for you to sense any pleasure or joy in being a Jew. But if you go through that time of being kofuf, of being a nun kfufa, of being a bent over nun to accept malchus, the kingdom of Hashem, then Hashem promises, soimach Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim, that all of the noflim, all those who have fallen, will be lifted up. V'zokev, and Hashem will straighten out. V'zokev l'chol ha'kfufim. That all of the nuns that until now were kfufim, were bent, that all of those nuns will be straightened out. So how does one do this? So there's a teaching in the Tikkun Zohar, the 21st Tikkun. The 21st Tikkun. The Tikkun says that the most powerful way to bring about this unification of Bina and Malchus, to straighten out the bent over Nun, or better, to join together and to lift up the bent nun with the straight nun, to join together, to lift up malchus and to connect it to bina, to the highest level, to lift up simple faith and to raise it up to a level where it's connected to bina, to the depth of understanding. That the Tikkun Zohar teaches us that the main way to accomplish that is through davening. Words of tefillah. Words of davening. And this is hinted at in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The Zohar tells us in the third parak of Shir HaShirim, where it says, listen carefully, Mi zois oylam in hamidbar. It says in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, Mi zois, who is this rising up from the desert? Mi zois oylam in hamidbar. Mi zois oylam in hamidbar. And the Zohar teaches that midbar means Ledaber, it means to speak. Midbar means diburei tefillah, words of davening. Midaber. Mi zos, if you want to bring about a unification of me and zos, the way to accomplish it is through midbar, which means davening. Mi, mem yud, equals 50. 50 is nun. Mi always means bina. It means to try to understand who. Me means who. But mem and yud, mem plus yud, equals 50. That's why there are nun chamishim sha'arei bina. There are 50 gates of bina in the world. So, me is bina, which is nun 50. Zos, the Zohar teaches us, when it says zos, zos means this. Zos. Zos HaTorah. That. Zos always means Malchus. Zos always means Malchus. It means simple faith. As it says in Tehillim, Bezos ani boteach. In this I trust. Bezos ani boteach, I have faith. Zos always means that I accept something the way that it is. This is it. This is it. Zos means malchus. Zos means when something is here, when it's in front of me. So the Zohar is teaching us, Mi zois oilam en hamidbar. How does one bring about a unification of me, which is Bina, 50, understanding and depth, the long nun, together with Zos, which means Malchus, Bezos ani boteach. How does one unify the me and the Zos? Mi Zos, Olam and Hamidbar. If you want to bring about a unification of me and Zos, the main way to accomplish that is through being a medaber, speaking words of davening, through davening. Mi Zos, Olam and Hamidbar. That through the koach of dibur, through the power of speech, and particularly through words of tefillah, a person can connect together the me, the nun, 50, the straight end nun, and zos, which means malchus, the bent over nun. Mi zos oilam and hamidbar. So the person begins with simple emunah, simple faith, and he begins to talk to the Baruch Shalom. He begins to talk to Hashem. Rabbi Nachman says in his Sichas that if a Jewish person begins to tell Hashem his secrets, then Hashem begins to tell you his secrets. If you reveal your secrets to Hashem, if you could actually go on the side and not just say the words in the Siddur, which is wonderful, but if you could add your own words and pour your heart out to Hashem and tell Him how you feel and what's worrying you and what's on your mind. If you begin to tell your secrets to Hashem in simple faith that there's a God that's listening, which means Zos, ani bezos ani boteach, then that will lift your emunah, your faith, up to a level of Bina, where Hashem will begin to tell you His secrets. And Kadosh Baruch Hu will begin to reveal to you in depth and Bina, with clarity and understanding, the meaning of your life. Until sof kol sof, what happens is that you have the nun, the bent over nun of emunah, of Zos, being connected to the end nun, the straight nun pshuta, which is Bina, understanding, to form the nun vav nun, which the Ramak taught us is going to be revealed at the end of time. But in our lives, even now, on a certain level, we can bring about this unification of Mi Zos Olam and Hamidbar. That we can lift ourselves up from a level of simple faith, of just accepting like an ox, the Ol Malchus Shamayim, the yoke of being a good Jew, without understanding. But if you talk to Hashem, if you daven, if you pour your heart out to Hashem, throughout all of the events of your life, then Mi Zos will be Olam and Hamidbar. Then you'll come to a deeper level of Bina, of understanding. And this is the unification of the Nun and the Nun. And until this happens, this is what Rabbi Nachman is teaching, that until this happens, you don't have any answers to questions. If you're not a davener, then your whole life is a teiku. Even though it's true that ultimately the great tikkun is going to be with Eliyahu Navi. And the reason for that is because the Sfarim have taught us, and we spoke about this last year at this time, that Eliyahu Navi is the one who, according to the Chazal, Eliyahu Navi is the one who is Shomer HaPesach, who stands by the opening of the mouth. Eliyahu Navi is the one who lifts up our tefillahs to Hashem. Eliyahu Navi is the one who shoots our tefillahs into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. He's Mala all the tefillahs, Eliyahu Navi. Therefore, even before Eliyahu Navi arrives in this world, in a physical body, to resolve the teiku, the questions, on all levels, and to bring about the repair with the final nun, where the bent over nun is joined to form the beautiful nun of tikkun, where the kinos are changed into tikkun. Even now, Rabbi Nachman is teaching us, even now, Mizais Olam and Hamidbar. If a Jewish person enters into the world of tefillah, if you throw your heart and your soul into davening, and you try to focus on the words, and you try to see yourself standing before Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we were talking about the last few weeks, if you strengthen in your life the presence of Eliyahu HaNavi, because Eliyahu HaNavi means truth, Eliyahu HaNavi means peace, Eliyahu HaNavi means the power to daven. Hashem Hu Elokim. Eliyahu HaNavi means joining together the Mi and the Zos, bringing Malchus and Bina together. So even now, before Eliyahu HaNavi appears in this world physically, if a person enters into the world of tefillah, of davening, and you put all your koyches into tefillah, then you already begin to feel, even now, you begin to feel the kinos changing into tikkun. The completion of that can only be the end of time. But Rabbi Nachman is teaching us that the big daveners of the world don't have big kashas. The people who are big daveners, you can be a big learner. You can be a big Talmud Chacham. You can be a genius. And you have a million unresolved questions about life. By this person, by my husband, by my wife, by my friend, by me. A million unresolved questions. But Rabbi Nachman said that it's teaching us that if you're a big davener, if you know how to talk to the Baruch Shalom, if you're attached to Eliyahu HaNavi, who brings together the Nun and the Nun, Bina and Malchus, then already now, before the end of time, the kinos begin to transform into tikkun. The questions begin to melt away. The bitterness, the anger, begins to dissipate. And here we have an astounding thing. You know that everything that's going to happen in the final redemption with Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach has already been planted, has already happened on a certain level when the Jews left Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt. Since the rule is, Hein Galti Eschem Achris Kereishis, that the Geula that's going to take place, the redemption that's going to take place with Mashiach Tzidkenu, that redemption, Kim Eitz Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Eren and the Floris, that the redemption that's going to be with Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to be the completion of the redemption that began with Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is hinted at according to Chazal in the Pasuk in Koheles, where it says in Koheles, Masha Hoya Hushiyya. That which was is that which is going to be. Masha Hoya Hushiyya spells Moshe. The first letters, Masha Hoya Hushiyya. The words of Moshe, the letters of Moshe are in that sentence. Masha Hoya, that which Moshe Rabbeinu began, that which was Masha Hoya Hushiyya is that which is going to be. And according to what we just learned from Rabbi Nachum, we can understand this in a very deep way. Because we spoke about this many times, that what was wrong in Mitzrayim, what happened in Egypt. The Svarim tells us that there was a Golas Hadas. The Zohar says there was a Golas Hadas and a Golas Hadibur. Golas Hadas means when a person doesn't understand. You're not aware. Your Bina is out of whack. Your understanding is not accurate. Golas Hadas, you don't see. You're immature in your understanding, that's Golas Hadas. And Mimela, if there's a Golas Hadas, if one doesn't see, if one doesn't understand, then there's a Golas Hadibur. And everybody here knows that Paro, the word Paro has the letters Pera, the mouth that is evil. That the Golas of Mitzrayim, when you open the book of Shmos, we see that what was happening was that the Jews, nobody could speak. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't communicate to the Jewish people. Paro wasn't listening. The Jews weren't able to listen. And we spoke about that in the past, that there was a Golas Hadibur, that speech was in exile. Das, understanding and awareness. Bina and Malchus were in a state of Golas. Therefore, there was a pgam in the nuns that we spoke about. There was a blemish, a defect in the nun. Therefore, it's called Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim has in it the letters Meitzar Yud Mem, Meitzar Mi. Meitzar means when something is closed and shut. Mitzrayim is Meitzar Yud Mem. Yud Mem is 50. Yud Mem means the closing down, the shutting down of the 50 Shari Bina, of the 50 levels of understanding of the world of me. It means the Stimas Hanun. It means the shutting down of that power of Mizais Olam and Hamidbar. Therefore, when the Jewish people were taken out of Mitzrayim, that took place in such a way of Mizais Olam and Hamidbar. Who is the one who has risen up from the desert? That's talking about the Jews coming out of Mitzrayim. When me and Zos were brought together, when the me of the Chamishim Shari Bina, when Bina and Zos, which is Malchus, were unified. Therefore, the Yontav is called Pesach, because Pesach means Pesach, the mouth that can speak. And that means the mouth that can speak. The ability to daven, to talk. The ability to express yourself. And when did that begin? So the Sforim tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu means Das. Moshe Rabbeinu means holy understanding. Moshe Rabbeinu is the ability to understand, to go deeply into something. When Moshe Rabbeinu began to shine in this world, then the Jews began to call out to Hashem, began to scream out to Hashem. And that explains the juxtaposition in the beginning of Shmos, between the story of the Jewish people screaming and crying and yelling and davening and beginning to speak after years of silence, and the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, the appearance of Das. Because it's the beginning of the unification of me and Zeus, of understanding of me. And Zeus, which is Amunah Pshuta, simple Amunah, Malchus. And this process that Moshe Rabbeinu began, where there is holy understanding that brings to the outcry of Tefillah, this is going to be completed with Eliyahu Hanavi and Mashiach. Therefore, the word Mashiach is the word Messiach Ilmim. Messiach means to cause the one who can't speak to speak. Sicha means speech. The ability to speak. Mashiach's name means Messiach Ilmim. It means a sicha, it means to talk. The Koch HaDibur. And that's why one of the names of Mashiach is Lefnei Shemesh Yinon Shemo, Yinun Yud Nun Vav Nun. Because the Koch of Tefillah, the Koch of Davening, brings about that connection of Bina and Malchus. And that is going to be completed with Mashiach Sekeinu, as we spoke about last week, that the Koch of Mashiach, the strength and the weapon of Mashiach is Tefillah, is Davening. And the opposite of that is the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now we come to Tisha B'Av. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is called Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah, the place of Davening. The Beis HaMikdash is the place where we're supposed to have the ability to talk to the Baruch Shem, to connect to Hashem. And therefore these days of the 3 weeks are called Ben HaMetzarim. Because if you take the words Ben HaMetzarim, they have the oisiyas Bina Metzarim, Bina Mitzrayim. Ben HaMetzarim, spell Bina Mitzrayim. Bina, which is in a state of Metzar Yam. In other words, in Mitzrayim, the power of Bina was closed, was shut. And simple Emunah remained in the bent over Nun. And it couldn't rise up to the pure and clear Nun of Bina. That's what was in Mitzrayim. And the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Golus that we're in right now is simply the emergence of the re-emergence of the exile of Egypt. Therefore, these days are called Ben HaMetzarim. When Bina Mitzrayim, when the me of Bina is in a state of Metzar, is shut and closed. Therefore, that which suffers most during these years of Galus. Hope there's a minion here that's still following. Girls can count in this minion. Anybody following? All right. Therefore, what suffers most during our Galus, these years of Galus, especially the end? Davening. Davening is suffering the most. I'm not going to go into that right now. I was screaming about it already the last few weeks. Davening is kfeilach. Even people that are shomer mitzvahs that are religious, everybody knows that to try to concentrate 5 minutes in davening is torture. It's the hardest thing. To connect to davening is the hardest thing because davening is Eliyahu Navi. Davening is the ability of to bring up the broken nun, the bent over nun, and to lift it up to bina. That comes through tefillah. Therefore, the greatest yetzahara before Mashiach comes, before Messiah will come to perfect our davening, the greatest yetzahara is not to daven. It's to stand in the way of our davening. Therefore, we've spoken about this in the past, that in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh, Leah Imenu is called davening, Rachel is called Torah, and Leah is called davening. And Rachel is beautiful. Everybody wants Rachel. Everybody likes a good piece of Torah, something that's brilliant and insight, it's fantastic. People who are not necessarily even religious, but they appreciate a good word of Torah. But Vayar Hashem Kisnu Aleya. But when it comes to davening is called Lei Imenu. Davening is Lei Imenu, because Lei Imenu was despised. Lei Imenu was tefillah. Lei Imenu was not understood. Vayar Hashem Kisnu Aleya. The Ribono Shel Olam saw that Lei was despised. And here's where we come to Pinchas. So we're waiting for Eliyahu Navi to come to the world and to answer all the questions, to lift us up from a level of simple faith where we're just trying to accept, and to lift us up to a higher madrega of clear understanding. So we're waiting for Eliyahu Navi to resolve all the sveikas. And it must be that if the golus, if the exile that we're experiencing now comes from the exile of Egypt, certainly it must be, as I spoke about before, it must be that the redemption that we're going to experience with Eliyahu Navi must have had its root and source in the redemption of Egypt. Therefore, Eliyahu Navi must have been present at the time of the redemption. And that's the meaning of Chazal when they have taught us that Pinchas is Eliyahu. Because even in the Golos of Mitzrayim, the Torah says, "Vayimoru es chayeyem ba'avoda kosha b'choymer b'levenim." And Chazal have taught us that our lives were made bitter with the questions, with the machloikis, and with the kashas that we had in Torah. Again, the kashas don't just mean in understanding and learning. The kashas mean in all those unresolved dilemmas. In Egypt, those unresolved dilemmas were just starting. And that's how our lives were bitter. Just like even now, our lives are bitter because we don't have the answers to these questions. They were living through this state of teiku that we're now in. Therefore, it must have been that even back then in Mitzrayim, Eliyahu Navi must have been there, the beginning of redemption, the power of tefillah, the power of bringing together the two nuns. And that's the teaching that Pinchas is Eliyahu. And regarding Pinchas, the Torah says, Lochein Emor therefore said to him, Henini Noisim Lo Yisbrisi Shalom. Therefore, regarding Pinchas, the Torah says that he was given the bris, Hashem made with Pinchas the brisi shalom. Because Eliyahu Navi means peace. Eliyahu Navi means making peace between people, means making peace between a husband and wife, between a person and oneself. It means resolving the questions. Eliyahu Navi, who is Pinchas, means the taking of the nun, which means I don't understand, I'm just accepting. And changing the kinos of the bent over nun into the tikkun and joining it together with the bina and malchus mizois oilem and hamidbar, to join it together with the complete and final nun of the tikkun, to resolve the teiku by fixing the kinos and making them into tikkun. And maybe that's the meaning of the medrash that we began with. Haroit se leida shepinchas Eliyahu yistakel be'el hadvar. If you want to know that Pinchas is Eliyahu, then take a look at the first pasuk of the fifth book of the Chumash, which is Dvarim, where it says, Eila HaDvarim. Because the Baal Shem Tov taught the deeper meaning of Eila HaDvarim is that Moshe Rabbeinu's entire life is devoted to one thing, Mizois Olam HaMidbar, to teach Jewish people to speak to Hashem, words of Tefillah and words of Torah. Eila HaDvarim, these are the words. Eil HaDvar means these are the words. Speak words. These are the words. But in order that that should take place, we must have the presence of Elionovi, who carries the tefillos, who lifts up the tefillos, who is the sight, the mystery of Mizois. Therefore, if you want to know that Pinchas is Eliyahu, you look at Eila HaDvarim. Mainly now we can understand how we begin to say Eicha and Tisha B'Av. Eicha Yashva Badad. How could it be that Yerushalayim sits alone? Eicha Yashva Badad Ha'ir Abbas Yom. The city that was once so populated with our people. Haisa ke'almana. She is like a widow. She is like a widow. Haisa ke'almana. So we have a teaching from the Rebbe of Shmuel, the Maharash from Lubavitch. He says that the word almana, widow, comes from the word elaim. Elaim means not to be able to be unable to speak. And elaim is somebody who is mute, who can't speak. And the meaning of that is that the Jewish people in their state of disgrace, the Jewish people, when they haven't yet that achieved that connection between Malchus and Bina, the Jewish people who are still living through Kinos, are called Kirochel Lifnei Goizezeha Ne'elama, like a lamb before the ones who are shearing her wool, who stands in absolute silence and can't say a word. Ne'elama. And the Maharash Mulubavish taught that the word ne'elama, which means the inability to speak ne'elama, nun aleph lamed mem hei, spells the letters, the word almana. Almana means a widow. And the Rebbe of Shmuel explains that when the Novi says haisa ka'almana, it means that there's such a thing as a sorrow that's so deep that a person simply can't speak. A woman who is a widow. The mourning here is not a mourning that she could even express. She is silenced because of the weight of her mourning. She simply can't find the words. Therefore, almana spells the word ne'elama, silent. And that's with that feeling of disgrace and emptiness. That's what almana is. And what will be the tikkun? In our state of tikkun, the Rebbe says, kimitzion teitzei sorrow dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Right now, Yerushalayim is compared to an almana. Yerushalayim is silent. Right now Yerushalayim can't daven. We have such difficulty davening. We have such a difficulty opening up our mouths. We're stuck in the world of kinos and we can't bring about the tikkun. We can't connect the malchus with the bina. And our davening is suffering and we can't speak to Hashem as a child would to a father, to a mother. Therefore Yerushalayim is ke'almana. And there will come a time when it will be Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, and the word of Hashem will be shining out of Yerushalayim. When Dibur will be revealed in all of its strength and all of its glory, and then the Jewish people will rule over the world, as it says in the Pasuk, Yedabra Amim Tachteinu L'umim Tachas Ragleinu. Yedabra Amim Tachteinu. We say that when we blow the shofar. Blowing the shofar means I can't speak, I can only scream. When we blow the shofar before, we say the pasuk Yedaber Amim Tachteinu. The word Ledaber also means to have control. So ultimately, the Jewish people who are now in a state of almonas, who are in a state of being a widow, who can't speak, who can't daven, ultimately there'll come a time when Yedaber Amim Tachteinu Umim Tachas Ragleinu. When the Jewish people will rule over the world with the power of Dibur, Yedaber Amim Tachteinu. Because speaking means controlling. But Chazal make a point to tell us that first pasuk in Eicha is Haisa Ke'almana, like a widow. And therefore Chazal tell us that our husband hasn't died. The Jewish people are Ke'almana, which means like a woman whose husband has went across the sea, a woman whose husband has disappeared across the sea, and she doesn't know where he is. Therefore, she is like an almana. It's as if she's not married. Because I'll say above Osid Lachzer Elel, that he's going to return. Not an almana mamish. Therefore, the Navi promises us that there's going to come a time, V'nigla k'vayit Hashem, V'ro kol boza yachtav, kipi Hashem diber. And the cherpa, the humiliation of our state of widowhood is going to finally be removed. And the Jewish people will be able to speak and to talk and to scream and to yell and to praise Hashem. Hoyd l'Hashem ki toiv. Ki lo'ilam chazda. When all the teiku will be removed, the kinus will be fixed and will be a tikkun. And mi zois oilam and hamidbar with Pinchas' Eliyahu will bring about the great repair. Through Mashiach, which is Messiah ilm, that those who are mute will be able to speak. Ki pi Hashem diber. In the Psichasa, in the opening of the Medrash Eicha, we're told, it's late, that's not what we're told, I'm saying. In the Psichasa of the Medrash Eicha, Zois Oshev Alibi, there's one thing that we can take into heart, and it gives us hope. So the Medrash says, how did the Jewish people strengthen themselves during Galus? So the Medrash says that this can be compared to a king who wrote a tremendous, beautiful ksuba, who promised the most beautiful clothing and the most beautiful house to his kala. But then he left. He had to go and he went. And he was missing his Memdinas Hayam. He was far away. And the neighbors of this woman, the neighbors of the Kala, the people who live there, would come there all the time and say, you couldn't possibly believe that he is going to return to you after all these years. And she felt completely broken and she would cry, but then she would remember her ksuba. She would remember the document that she had, the promises, and she would take out the ksuba and she would read this ksuba. Finally, the Medrash says that her chassan returned, the king returned, and he'll see that he saw that she's still faithful, she remained faithful, and he's going to say, I can't understand, it's amazing to me how you were able to remain faithful, how you were able to wait for me all these years. So she'll take out the ksuba and say, if not for this ksuba, I wouldn't have been able to. So the Medrash says, that's what happened to the Jewish people. A long time ago, our chassan, the king, made many promises. The promises are found in the Tanakh. And then something happened. We don't know. The king went to the Medina Sayyam someplace. The king is on a trip. The Shekhinah is missing from our lives. And the neighbors, the Medrash says, means the Umas HaOlam, the nations of the world. The nations of the world, and particularly Edom, Esav of Christianity, says you can't possibly think that as despised, as humiliated, as disgraced as you are, you can't possibly think that in any way your husband or your chassan is going to return. So the Jewish people sit during Galus and they're about to fall into despair. And they take out the ksuba. They read the promises in Tanakh. They read Nachemu Nachemu Ami, Yomer Lokeichem, Dabra Lev Yushalayim V'kir Elo. They read the promises that Hashem made in Tanakh. They take out the ksuba and they strengthen themselves to wait. And then the Medrash says that at the end of time, Hashem's going to come. The king is going to return to his kala, to the Jewish people, and the king is going to say, Atmoah, I can't understand, I'm in wonder, how are you able to wait for me all of these years? And the Jewish people will take out the ksuba, the Tanakh, and say, Lulei sarascha shashua ezavarti b'ayni. If not for your Torah, if not for the promises that you made to us, we'd be mamish lost in our despair. I saw that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh once decided to take a trip, one of those mysterious trips. I saw this recently. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh decided to take a trip, and they came to a certain place, and he told his shamans to tell the wagon driver to stop, and they came to a certain place, and the Baal Shem Tov stood in an open field near a forest, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh stood there for a while, and then all of a sudden there was the most beautiful song, the most beautiful niggun. It was coming from the woods, the most beautiful niggun. The Shamas said this was the most beautiful song he ever heard in his life. And the Baal Shem Tov called out and said, come here, come here. Called out in Russian. And a peasant came out from the woods. Some shepherd or something that was in the woods. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, you know what, could you do me a favor? I'd really appreciate it. That's the most beautiful song I ever heard. Could you sing it for me? So he said, okay. And he sang this niggun. He sang this song without words. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh listened, and he was just totally like, you know, he saw he was in another place. And then the Baal Shem Tov, after he finished, the Baal Shem Tov said, sing it for me once more if you don't mind. And he sang it once more. And then the Baal Shem Tov said, I think I have it. Is this how it goes? And the Baal Shem Tov sang the niggun beautifully. Beautifully. Infinitely more beautifully. He sang the niggun. And then after he finished, he asked the peasant, could you please sing it once more? And then he opened his mouth, the peasant, and he couldn't remember, he couldn't sing the song. And the Baal Shem Tov told him, go ahead, thank you very much, goodbye. And the Baal Shem Tov went back in the wagon. And the Shamas didn't understand any of this, and the Shamas asked the Baal Shem Tov what happened. The Baal Shem Tov said, you should know that song that he was singing was one of the songs that the Levim used to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. And the songs of the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash have been in Galus many, many years. They're wandering throughout the world, and they enter into all kinds of unclean places until a Jew comes along and is able to redeem it, to redeem that song. The Baal Shem Tov said, once I took it away from him, he's lost it forever. It belongs to us again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help. We should see with our eyes that all the lost songs of our people should be restored. That every single one of you who has a song that you can't remember, a song that you can't find, every single one of you and myself, all of us, that we should be zeichet to see that day when the song will be taken away from the side of impurity and will be brought back to the Jewish people. She be zeichet, Mr. Hashem, to see the keenness changed into the tikkun. V'sechazene, inene v'shuv Hashem, v'tzion v'rachmim, we should see Nechamas Tzion, Nechamas Yerushalayim, v'mheir v'yameinu, v'amein v'amein. I'd like to make just two very important announcements.